Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. How often have we heard or said, "Your attitude is wrong," or "You have a bad attitude"? How many lessons have we heard from pulpits around the land on the sinful nature of ingratitude or selfishness or envy or attitudes like that? Yet there seems to be little said about how to change a wrong attitude into a right attitude. Does the Word of God only identify sin and condemn it? Does it only offer forgiveness? Or does it also teach a practical way to overcome sin in our daily life? The Apostle Paul wrote, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate for every good work." 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. Now, if you and I are to be equipped for every good work, then overcoming sinful attitudes and behaviors would be a part of that training. How do we take an ungrateful heart and change it into a grateful one? How do we take a heart that is filled with resentment and bitterness and change it into one filled with forgiveness and love? How do we take an anxious and fearful personality and change it to one of trust and peace? How do we take a life that is selfish and self-centered and change it into one that is selfless and self-sacrificing? This series of lessons will offer some biblical suggestions. Remember that attitudes that have taken years to form will not change without hard and consistent effort. The first attitude I'd like to study with you is the attitude of anger. Aristotle once said, "Anyone can become angry. That's easy. But to be angry with the right person to the right degree, at the right time and for the right purpose and in the right way, that's not easy." Have you ever become angry and lashed out verbally or physically just to hurt? Have you ever sulked and pouted? Have you ever had a pity party? Have you ever made fool of yourself in a temper tantrum? Have you ever controlled your behavior on the outside, but became resentful and bitter on the inside? Well, if you have, join the human race. You've had a sinful response to the emotion of anger. Angry feelings have probably caused more broken hearts, more broken homes, and more broken heads than any other emotion. Angry feelings are like dynamite sticks. They're useful when managed, but disastrous when handled improperly. By nature, man responds to anger in two different ways. The explosion, that's the most dramatic and capable of making havoc and leaving paths of destruction, much like a tornado. Then there's the implosion, or the internalized anger. This is more subtle and slower, but it can be just as deadly, if not more so. The explosion is easy to recognize, always accompanied by some type of violent behavior. We may think of this as kicking or hitting or gouging, but don't ignore or underestimate wounds inflicted by a violent tongue. In the book of James, chapter 3 and verse 6, we read, "And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell." During an explosion of anger, there are those who would never think of inflicting physical pain that may not even hesitate to fire verbal abuse, which causes more emotional and mental damage than any physical blow. It also lasts longer, doesn't it? The explosion usually has one objective, and that is to hurt. Even when it isn't the aim, usually it's the result. When it's directed at the object of our anger, it serves as punishment or revenge. When directed at the world in general, it serves to make everyone as miserable as we are ourselves. Have you ever heard, after unacceptable behavior? Well, they made me mad. Or, of course I did that, but did you hear what they said to me? Those are simply man's feeble attempts to justify explosions of anger. What does human wisdom teach about explosive anger? First of all, they teach get it out of your system. But I would suggest to you that the theory is faulty. You can never explode anger out of your system. You may feel like you got even. You may even feel a temporary calm. But you just start making it a little easier to explode the next time. You start to develop a pattern of behavior. We're told you'll feel better if you ventilate. Well, we might until we realize that no one else does. We have to clean up the mess that we've created. We're told just direct it, this explosive anger, in a way that doesn't harm anybody. Pretend a pillow is the object of anger, a husband or a wife or the kids or parents or the boss. Kick it, hit it, stab it, scream at it until your anger is drained. But I wonder if that's harmless. In essence, we have committed mental violence or mental murder. Jesus said concerning that type of thing, "Blessed are the pure in heart," Matthew 5 and verse 8. What we have done is escaped reality. The problem that triggered the explosion is still there, ready to strike us again. What kind of thinking patterns have we established by hitting and beating, stabbing and screaming? Explosions never solve problems. They never cure the disease. Well, as we said at the outset of our lesson today, the second way man responds to anger is internalized, or the implosion. It's more difficult to see. The pressure builds up until it blows up. It often results in mental and emotional disorders. I can remember as a child, my mom fixed Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon dinner in a Presto pressure cooker. She had put that pot roast and potatoes and carrots into that pressure cooker and put it on the stove at a low heat and left it there while we went to worship services. One time I remember we were coming home from church, and as we pulled into the carport and my dad opened his door, he said quite succinctly, "Stay in the car." Now, my dad was a man of very few words, but when he used that kind of tone, everybody listened. We stayed in the car as my dad went inside. We found out later that the reason for the warning was because he didn't hear the steam being released from that pressure cooker. When a pressure cooker is stopped up, it's no longer a cooker of a Sunday afternoon meal, it's a bomb. My dad was fearful that the Presto pressure cooker had been stopped up and that we would be in danger if we entered into the house. It's a lot like internalized anger. Some symptoms of these kinds of thoughts are things like it's not. If we can become alert to the symptoms, then we can place corrective action into our life and not be hurt so much by this angry explosion. Some consideration, I suppose, in our study should be given to what causes angry feelings. In James, the 4th chapter and verse 1, the Bible reads, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members?" We see this base for anger in a variety of combinations. Someone is doing something we don't want them to do, or someone is not doing something we do want them to do. Someone is doing something in a way that we don't want it done. Something is not getting done as fast as we think that it should, or faster than we think that it should. Someone has offended or wronged us. Someone has violated our rights. We're frustrated over something that we can't change. Knowing some of anger's causes may be a benefit to us, but what is the greatest benefit is knowing that God warns us against anger regardless of the cause. In James, the 1st chapter and verse 20, we read, "For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God." Solomon wrote in Proverbs 29 and verse 11, "A fool vents all of his feelings, but a wise man holds them back." In Proverbs 29 and verse 22, the Bible reads, "An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression." Now, to this point, those of us who have a problem with anger face a choice. We can be like the blind man in John the 9th chapter and obey Jesus and be healed, Or we can be like the rich young ruler of Matthew 19 and verse 22. He went away sorrowful, not willing to make the sacrifice that results in change. Well, the question becomes, where do those of us who want to change start? Any change begins with the repentance. It's more than being sorry. It's wanting to change. Now, if our want-to power is weak, we can strengthen it by spending more time with God's Word. True repentance seeks forgiveness from God and from those that we've hurt, those who we have harmed by our anger. Second, we need to recognize that angry feelings in and of themselves are not sinful. Over 80 Old Testament passages say God was angry. Angry feelings are sort of like uninvited guests. Though we can't control their coming, we can control our response to them. Emotions are given a man by God, and when they're managed, they're good. They motivate us. Passion is an emotion that produces intimacy and reproduction. Fear is an emotion that motivates us to caution. Anger is an emotion that motivates us to deal with a problem. For example, a squeaky door that should have been fixed a long time ago, every time you hear it, you feel angry and irritated. Well, we have a choice. We can yell at someone that we told to fix it, yell at them again. We can tear it off the hinges, that'll fix the squeak. We can kick the dog and make the kids turn off the cartoons, or we can get some oil and fix the door. The first of the three attack the world, the last attack the problem. God's first and most effective method for handling angry feelings, in fact, it eliminates a lot of them before we have to handle them in another way, is the new man or the replacement method. Paul teaches that in Romans the 6th chapter. He teaches about the old, new, and the new you. In Ephesians the 4th chapter, verse 22 beginning, the Bible reads that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which in being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Therein, God really gets specific about the implementation of this new life concept. I find it amazing how scientists, behavioral scientists, have recently, quote, discovered, unquote, this. They call it behavioral modification. It teaches us to quit doing something by doing something else in its place. Well, now, God used that method a long time ago. In Ephesians 4 and verse 25, he said, quit lying. Start telling the truth. In Ephesians 4, verse 31 and 32, he says, get rid of anger, rage, slander, and brawling by being kind, compassionate, and forgiving. Now, God knows that the patterns of the old you are often stronger than the faith of the new you. So God has given us some fundamental methods of dealing with anger until we mature enough to let the new you neutralize the old you. Let's call these methods the back to basic plan given to us by God. The first step we'll call drop it. That's taught in Proverbs the 17th chapter and verse 14. It's hard to stop a quarrel, but once it starts, don't let it begin. Shut your mouth. Take a walk. Mind your own business before the fight starts. The second method we'll call hold it. That's in direct conflict with the explode theory. Again, in Proverbs 29 and verse 11, the Bible says, a fool uttereth all of his mind, but a wise man keeps it in until afterwards. I like the Living Bible version of that verse. A rebel shouts in anger. A wise man holds his temper in and cools it. This certainly is not teaching us to internalize anger. It's teaching us to control it by holding back to see if it'll quiet down by itself. Third, we'll call it the Are You Listening method. In James 1 and verse 19, the Bible says, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. How many angry feelings have you had that are predicated on misunderstanding, which are caused by our not listening? The fourth method in our back to basics we'll call close your mouth and think. That's based on Proverbs 15 and verse 28. A good man thinks before he speaks. An evil man pours out his evil words without even a thought. A righteous man asks, is what I'm about to say true? Is it fair? And thirdly, will it bring unnecessary pain? There are some people that believe that if it's true, you can say it. But I would suggest to you that I would not want everything that's true about me and my past printed on the front page of the Arizona Republic. There's more to repeating something or saying something than just whether or not it's truthful. Again, let me repeat. A righteous man asks, first of all, is what I'm about to say true? Certainly that's necessary. But add to that, is what I'm about to say fair? Not everything that's true is fair. Thirdly, will it bring unnecessary pain? If what we're about to say meet all three of those criteria, then we can say it. The fourth method of our back-to-basic cure for sinful anger will entitle remove yourself from a tempting situation. God teaches that in Exodus, the 32nd and 33rd chapter. God told the Israelites that their stubbornness and rebellion provoked him to such anger that he might even destroy them. Therefore, he would send an angel in his place to guide them into the promised land, the land of Canaan. He wasn't avoiding the problem. He had already dealt with the problem of the golden calf. He just removed himself from being tempted to be angry. Proverbs 22 and verse 3 teaches the same principle. There we read that a prudent man foresees the difficulties ahead and prepares for them. A simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. The sixth step of our back-to-basic cure is found in Proverbs, the 15th chapter and verse 1. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words cause quarrels. Do you realize that the gentleness of your voice is a dynamic tool in controlling your own anger, even the anger of others? I've read that muscles must be rigid to speak angrily and relaxed to speak gently. So just relax, speak gently instead of angrily. I read this, and when I was putting together this lesson, I did a little experiment on a pet dog that we have at home. The dog's name was Midnight. Midnight loved milk bones. So I got a milk bone and I went and sat on the couch. Midnight was in the other side of the room. And I said, "Come here, Midnight, I'll give you a milk bone." Well, Midnight tucked his tail and ran all the way into the back part of the house. Then I decided to try the other method, the gentle or the relaxed voice. I looked at Midnight and I said, "Come here, Midnight, I'm going to beat you up within a half inch of your life." Midnight come running, thinking that he was going to get something good. Well, it was not what I said, was it? It was how it was said. If we'll just use that soft answer, we can turn away wrath. Proverbs 15 and verse 1. The seventh and final step of our back to basics is speaking the truth in love. If you've tried the first six steps and are still having angry feelings, not able to forgive and forget, then you're at the point where speaking the truth in love becomes applicable. Remember, in love, we treat one another differently than without love. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, beginning in verse 4, we find the Bible definition of the kind of love that we're talking about. If you have a Bible handy, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and let's begin reading in verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, it does not take into account a wrong suffered. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. And then in the first part of verse 8, love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. If there are tongues, they will cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the part will be done away. Therein Paul, inspired of God, tells us what God's definition is of love. So then, in our final step in overcoming the sinful emotion of anger, we're speaking the truth in love. We need to go to the person that we're angry with and talk to them about the problem. That is not an easy solution. It is oftentimes a necessary solution. Turn in your Bible, if you have one available, to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, verse 17. Therein I read, "Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.'" These basics about which we have been speaking are so simple that oftentimes we just simply ignore them. We stand looking for a more complex solution. It reminds me of the story of Naaman in 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. Naaman was a great general in an army, in a world-powerful army. But Naaman had an incurable disease called leprosy. In one of Naaman's battles, he took captive a little slave girl who was an Israelite and brought her home to work and to live for in his home. That little Israelite girl said, "I wish that Naaman knew about the prophet in Israel, because if he did, he could be cured of that dreaded disease." Naaman went all the way to find the prophet. And when he came to the prophet's door, he expected some great thing to be done. But the prophet didn't even answer the door himself. He sent his servant. The servant gave Naaman the answer for his cure. He said, "Go down, Naaman, and dip 7 times in the Jordan River." That certainly was not what Naaman was expecting nor wanted to hear, and it made Naaman angry. Naaman reasoned, "I can dip in the clear waters back home. Before I could dip in the muddy waters of the Jordan, I don't know why in the world this solution was given to me. It's obvious that it will not work." So Naaman didn't follow the steps given to him by the prophet of God. Naaman's leprosy continued. Naaman finally, when beseeched by his friends, went to Israel and dipped in the Jordan River. He dipped once, still had leprosy. He dipped twice, still had leprosy. He dipped 3 times and 4 times and 5 times and 6 times, and he still had the problem. But when Naaman completed the plan that God had given him for cure and dipped the 7th time in the muddy rivers of Jordan, he came forth with flesh that was as pure and clean as a baby. Naaman was healed. When you and I follow the steps that we have read about in God's Word concerning the overcoming of anger, we will be healed. When we follow man's way, we will not be healed. We must understand that oftentimes God uses the simple to confound the wise. But God's Word, as Paul wrote in Corinthians, is always better, stronger, truer, more effective than man's word. When we come to grips with that, we will come to know that these 7 basic and simple steps will allow us to overcome a devastating attitude problem, and we will overcome the problem of sinful anger. If you would like a complimentary CD of this program, send your name and address to goandteach@montavistacoc.com. Mention the air date you heard this program and the title, Attitude Adjustment. Again, the address is goandteach@montavistacoc.com. Thank you very much for tuning in and listening. My prayer is for you to find the truth, to obey the truth, to be pleasing in the sight of God.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.